Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Moses sees the promised land, but he never enters it. We're going to read about that. Why God didn't allow this mighty man, this great man, man who knew God face to face, how he didn't allow him to go into the promised land. And then I want us to look at a couple of themes from the life of Moses.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. We all love a happy ending when the hero reaches his destination and claims his great reward. But when we look at the life of Moses, we discover that Moses never reached his destination of the Promised Land. Today we're exploring the surprise ending to a fascinating journey with a message called The Death of Moses. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, we've almost concluded our series on the life of Moses. It's been a tremendous journey as we traveled through many of the experiences of this remarkable man of faith. Now we come to the end of his life. For that, we're looking at the last chapter of Deuteronomy, which records the death of Moses. I've often felt very sad that Moses, who had been used so mightily by God and had seen the power of God demonstrated in so many ways, was prevented from entering the promised land. Truly, the ways of the Lord are mysterious. Have you ever wondered why people die at certain times? Often to our way of thinking, it is the wrong timing for death, but God's way is perfect. Let's learn more of the death of Moses.
In the early hours of the 1st of January, 1919, a British ship called the Lolair, which is Gaelic for eagle, was carrying sailors home from the First World War, called the Great War, 1914 to 1918. So this happened on 1st of January, 1919. The ship was taking them back to their home island, the island of Lewis, a part of the Western Islands in Scotland. And you can imagine the anticipation and the excitement of these men as they approached their home. They were almost ashore. They were anticipating being united with their wives, their fiancés, their moms and dads, their brothers and sisters, their friends, and their grandparents. But within sight of the lights of their home, in fact, only 50 yards from shore, the ship hit treacherous rocks, and 201 of these men were lost. Yes, in sight of their home. In the morning, many of their bodies were seen as they were washed ashore. The toys and gifts that they were bringing for their parents, for their children, were seen washed on the shore. In one case, one young man was found, and there was an engagement ring in his pocket. It's a remarkable, a poignant story of men who traveled a long distance, of men who had fought for their country and were now just about to come home. In fact, they could see the very lights of their home, and they died right there. The tragedy was called the crowning sorrow of the war. And I thought of that story, a story I'm sure very few of you have heard. I thought of this story when studying for this concluding message in the series of the life of Moses. Here is one of the outstanding men of the Bible. This is the man, Moses, who had led the children from Egyptian slavery. This is the man who had celebrated the Passover, who had led them through the Red Sea. This is their leader, their wonderful leader, who in spite of the people's grumbling had led them through the wilderness for 40 years and had brought them right to the very edge of the promised land. And he dies within sight, we might say, of the lights of the promised land. Moses sees the promised land, but he never enters it. And his body is not burned, is not cremated. He has a unique burial, as we're going to read. He's buried by God east of the Jordan. I want to read with you the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I know if you're at home, you're pretty comfortable, but if you've got your Bible, I want you to get it. We're going to read a lot of scripture because this is a remarkable story. This is a remarkable man. And I want to read, first of all, the divine commentary on the life of Moses. Here it is in Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land. This is the promised land. Gilead as far as Dan, that's the way to the north. All Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, that's the Mediterranean. The Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho. The city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And for all his mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. The divine commentary summarizing the life of this remarkable man, Moses. Not permitted, however, to enter the promised land. We're going to read about that. Why God didn't allow this mighty man, this great man, man who knew God face to face, how he didn't allow him to go into the promised land. And then I want us to look at a couple of themes from the life of Moses. Now let's go back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 20. And we're going to see why Moses is not permitted to enter the promised land. Numbers 20, verse 1. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam, Moses' sister, died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Now notice verse 6. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that's the tabernacle, and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I've given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. Isn't this remarkable? Here are the children of Israel quarreling with Moses and questioning why he had led them from Egypt, they say, to this evil place, and there's no water. And Moses does, first of all, as the Lord instructs him. He's told to take his staff and to tell the rock to yield its water. But as we read, Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, in his anger, in his frustration with the people, he strikes the rock twice in direct disobedience to the Lord. However, the Israelites still receive water. Verse 11, it says, as abundantly, God is gracious. Even when we disobey him, people can still be blessed by our actions. The actions of Moses were an unbelief, an attack on the holiness and the glory of God. Direct disobedience, and for this reason, he's not going to bring the people into the promised land. Now, what do you think about that? Do you think the Lord was rather harsh? But such was the importance of the leader of God portraying the holiness of the Lord to the people and doing as God commanded Moses, that he doesn't enter the promised land. Now, as we conclude the series on the life of Moses, I thought it'd be good to think of themes. I've selected four of them that I think are emphasized in the life of Moses and as he teaches them to the people. The first is the theme of remembrance. Over and over again in the book of Deuteronomy, the people are told to remember, not to forget. They were always to remember the Lord's guidance. They're always to remember the Lord's provision. And most important of all, they were never, ever to forget that once they were slaves in Egypt. They were always to remember their redemption from their slavery. And the redemption of Israel from slavery and their deliverance through the Red Sea is the pivotal event of the Old Testament, which is referred throughout Scripture over and over again, particularly in the Psalms. And it is memorialized in the Passover feast. Right to this day, there is a Passover, so that they would never forget two things. Once they were slaves in Egypt, and secondly, God had redeemed them. This would keep them humble. This would make sure that their focus is on God, that it was the Lord who had led them out of Egypt. Now, if the pivotal event in the Old Testament is the redemption through the Red Sea, what's the pivotal event in the New Testament? Well, it's obviously the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole of Scripture is pointing forward to our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, our Lord institutes a feast, not the Passover, somewhat similar to the Passover, but he institutes what we call communion, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. And Paul, as he deals with it in 1 Corinthians 11, what does he say? From the lips of our Lord, this do in remembrance of me. We have in the life of the church this ordinance so that we would never, ever forget the cross. That we would never, ever forget that once we were under the bondage of slavery. We must never forget our Savior, the theme of remembrance. Secondly, Moses emphasizes in Deuteronomy the theme of obedience, even though he is going to be disobedient. Deuteronomy chapter 4, you still got your Bibles there. Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Here's Moses to the people, and now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I'm teaching you, and do them that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your father, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I command you. Chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I'm commanding you today for your good. Chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Getting good use of your Bible. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Here's Moses again to the people. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. Notice this. You see, Deuteronomy is the second reading of the law. The law is originally given, you remember, back in Exodus 20 at Mount Sinai. They've gone through the wilderness, and now they're about to enter the promised land. But before they go into the promised land, Moses is giving them a reiteration of the law. He's emphasizing the law over and over again so that they will know the law, that it will be impressed on their hearts, that they'll write it on their doorposts, that they will teach it to their children so that they will obey the Lord. Moses knew the cost of disobeying the Lord. And the word hear, Hebrew word shema, occurs 30 times in Deuteronomy. And the word obey, or sometimes translated keep, occurs 100 times. So Moses is saying to people, listen up. This is important. Hear, O Israel, and give ear, O earth. Listen, this is God speaking. Hear it and obey the Lord over and over again. Obedience is key. You can read the book of Deuteronomy and see the importance of obeying God. Difficult for us, isn't it? Are you an obedient child of God? As you're listening, you say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you obedient? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, verse 12. John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. My love for my Savior is demonstrated by whether or not I'm obedient. Not what I say, not what I profess, not what I sing about, not what I teach or preach about, but whether I am humbly obedient to the Lord. John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And in Matthew 28, as Jesus commissions his disciples to make disciples of all the nations, he says to them, teaching them, new believers in discipleship making, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. What does Jesus want? Instant obedience, total obedience. To know the word of God and to keep it. This pleases our Heavenly Father. If you're a father or a mother, you know you're pleased when your children obey you. And our Heavenly Father is pleased when we obey him. And so this is a theme of Moses over and over again. The theme of remembrance, the theme of obedience, and then choice. Moses was a man who made a wise choice. Yes, he made mistakes, but he made a wise choice. Yes, I believe in God's sovereignty, but I also believe in human responsibility and human choice. At the age of 40, remember, Moses had a very important decision to make. He's raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He had all the pleasures and treasures of Egypt at his disposal. But we read, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the great reward. I'm quoting from Hebrews 11. He made a choice. 40 years old, brought up in Pharaoh's palace with all of the pleasures, with all of the treasures of it. He had it made. He had it all, we would say. What more could a man of 40 want? No, he says, I'm going to identify with my people. I'm going to make a choice to follow the Lord. Have you made that choice? Have you? I have decided to follow Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, let him deny self. Take up his cross and follow me. Have you made that choice to follow Christ in total commitment? So many people dabble at the Christian life. They want a little bit of Jesus, but they also want a little bit of themselves and a little bit of the world. No, that's not how it works. Make a decision to follow Christ. We read from the Sermon on the Mount earlier today that Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. So who are you serving? Jesus says, come, follow me. Are you going to respond as Moses responded with a life of following the Lord? Remembrance, obedience, choice, and faith, of course. Moses lived by faith. And for that, we turn to the great chapter on faith in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, 23. And notice the references to faith. Hebrews 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. His parents lived by faith. By faith, here it is, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians were drowned when they attempted to do the same, and so on. By faith. Here is a man who knows God, a man who lived by faith.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today we began a message titled, The Death of Moses, and we'll reach the conclusion when we return for tomorrow's program. But in the meantime, feel free to catch up on any previous message you might have missed from our study on the life of Moses by going online to theverdict.org. And on our homepage, you'll see that one of our featured resources is the helpful listening guide John created for our current study. This printable workbook is full of insightful notes, engaging questions, and helpful prompts to help you get the most out of each of these daily lessons. With this workbook, you'll be able to dig deeper in your own study and apply what you've learned from the life of Moses to your own daily walk with God. So take advantage of this free resource today by downloading or requesting your copy of the Life of Moses Listening Guide at theverdict.org. You'll find it right on our homepage or under the Resources tab. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing and teaching biblical truth on a daily basis. Right now, you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. You can easily give whatever donation you feel led to by going online to theverdict.org. And when you do, be sure to also subscribe to John's monthly newsletter. It's absolutely free, and it's a great way to learn about upcoming events and series. Just click on the sign up button on our homepage. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you think it's fair that Moses was not allowed to enter the Promised Land? Can you imagine coming so far and even seeing the Promised Land, but not being able to enter it? It's true that Moses had acted in anger, in striking the rock twice with his staff, but he was sorely provoked, wasn't he? But God is a holy God, and God must be obeyed. Don't forget to tune in next time for the final lesson on Moses as we reflect further on this important man of God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.